Philippians chapter 4, verse 10. And I'm going to miss being in Philippians. I don't know if it's been a blessing to you, but it's been reshaping my attitude and focus, and I hope that the same thing has happened to you. It's amazing, this mind that God has given us, it's amazing how much things can really change in our lives if we just choose to see things the way He sees them, especially when we end up in dark places. Have you ever been in a dark place in your life?
Yes.
Just things weren't good, falling apart, alone. Sometimes when we are in those places, we kind of feel like we're the only one that's been through it, or we're the only ones going through it, and nobody understands. And it's only by testimony at times that we realize that we're not the only ones hurting. And sometimes the people around us that seem the most stable and sure of themselves also are dealing with a lot of pain. And I wanted to share with you some of my own personal struggles. And I don't do that often, and I'm selective in the way I do it, not because I'm trying to keep secrets. There's different reasons why I'm selective in what I share with you. And even in what I'm going to share now, I'll be somewhat vague. A lot of that is more to protect the different people in my life that may have been a part of my struggles. How many of you know most of our struggles usually stem from people, right? Okay? And so I've walked through different struggles, and some of it I'll be mildly specific with you, because I want you to see that the Lord does help people when they are in those dark places. So I went through a number of repeated traumas in my life, and the result of which embedded a lot of feelings deep within my heart. Feelings of being worthless, feelings of having no value, feelings of being dumb, stupid, and incapable, and incompetent, and just weak, and nothing to offer. And then feeling insecure and unlovable, as if there is nobody that is interested in me. Nobody cares, nobody's sympathetic, nobody's interested, nobody wants to love me, be affectionate towards me. And that can pull a person into a deep, dark place, leading, for me at least, to antisocial behavior so as to just stay away from the potential pain. The drive to try to do everything perfectly so as to at least not attract any negative attention. It's part of what has led to my OCD behavior of trying to make sure everything's just so. And some of you have experienced yourself of trying to make sure everything's just so, and still somebody gives you negative attention. And I have at times been asked, if you were a superhero, what superpower would you want to have? And often what I'm drawn to is the ability to be invisible. And the reason is because, in part, that's how I felt, was invisible. And also it was because if I was invisible, I wouldn't attract any negative attention. And yet, even in the midst of trying to not be noticed, there's a deep cry that has been within my heart in the past of still wanting somebody, desperately someone, just to notice the pain, just to notice the struggle, just to take interest. I'm thankful, though, for my oddities. I am odd in some of my behaviors. The more of you that know me personally know that I'm quirky and weird in different ways. And for some of those things, I'm thankful for, even some of my past antisocial behavior, because I know had I had been more confident socially in my adolescence, I would have been promiscuous, and I would have likely caused a lot of damage to my adult life because of such behavior. I also know that the Lord has spared me because numerous times I had thought to take my life, and it was my weird behavior that probably spared that, because I completely cannot stand the sight of blood. fact, I avoid needles at all costs. If I'm ever given an IV, I will not move my arm barely at all because I don't want the needle to bend in some way in my arm, and I am evasive to discomfort. Avoid that at all costs. Not that I can't stomach and handle pain. It's just I have no inclination to invite pain upon myself. And it's those oddities that I believe are the reasons why I did not at some point in my life take my own life. Deep, dark place. But it was in those places that in various moments in my life, the Lord pushed his way in and breathed hope and stability enough not to leave me with no trouble and no struggle, but breathe enough into my life for me to be able to keep going. And everyone around you, likely has their own things that they're keeping to themselves, and on the surface might look like they're all together, but there's dark places we go in our minds and in our hearts. And again, why do I share that with you? I share that with you because I want you to know that somebody has gone to a dark place and has recovered and has found joy and has not given up. And in any of those moments, I could have walked away from a lot of things, relationships, stability, even the faith. And yet I've continued to find myself, whether in ministry or not, always in Christian fellowship, always seeking him, always studying the Word of God, because that's what keeps us from hitting rock bottom. Knowing how to navigate through the darkness. Because it comes. If you're not in the darkness now, you will be at some point. It is coming. This is a dark world. And we have to know how to navigate through that darkness. It's the reason why Paul is saying what he's going to say in our passage this morning. And we can easily, and many of us read introductions and conclusions to letters, and we just think the introduction is just saying, hi, how are you? And the conclusion is just saying, all right, that was enough. Goodbye. See you later. But it's more to it than that. And we know that's certainly the case with Paul, because as Paul wraps up what he's saying here in this letter, we know by his behavior in this letter to this point, he doesn't say anything without some kind of purpose of saying to us how we are to be. Remember in the opening of the letter in Philippians 1, he expressed how much he loved the Philippians and the way he loved them. And then he said, and I pray that you will abound more in the love of Jesus Christ for one another. And so he didn't say it just to say, I love you guys. He said it to show us how to love each other. And that's why throughout the letter he says, follow our example on a number of occasions, because he's setting an example. And he's doing the same here. In this part of the letter, he's explaining how he got through some dark places. He's not telling the Philippians this just so they know, hey, I made it. Yay me. Why would he write that in the letter? He's not writing it for that purpose. He's not just writing it just to ease their conscience that, listen, you heard I was troubled, but I'm okay, so you don't have to feel guilty anymore. He's not doing it that way either, although those might be secondary reasons. He's writing this part of the letter so that not only the Philippians will know how to navigate through the darkness, but he's writing this so that you will know how to navigate through the darkness. And that's the way we'll survive. We can survive anything. Do you know that? Any onslaught that this world or any person or any demonic spirit, even any health issues throw at us, we can take it. Do you know that? We can survive it if we know how to navigate through the darkness. Don't you want to know how to navigate through the darkness? And so let's discover that with Paul in Philippians 4, beginning at verse 10. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned before, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. It's 14. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble, and you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. We can survive anything, anything, if we know how to navigate through the darkness. So we're going to walk through this passage, and there's basically 12 principles or thoughts that run through it as we walk through this passage of how to navigate the darkness. And it starts within verse 10 when he says, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. What are you saying? You care about me. I'm so glad you care about me. Somebody noticed me. Somebody noticed I had an issue. Somebody noticed I had a need, and you showed up and you met that need, and I'm so glad about that. Many of us feel very awkward expressing our gratitude to other people, especially when it comes to feelings or meeting certain needs in our life. In fact, many of us avoid rejoicing when we have these moments in which somebody is bringing something into my life. Why? Because we know it won't always be there. That person made me feel good right now. That person encouraged me now. That person was here for me now, but they can't always be there for me. So I need to figure out how to be tough and not have to need that person to be here for me, because they can't always be here for me. And what we end up doing to ourselves is we give ourselves an empty gas tank because we won't allow ourselves to enjoy the little gifts that God brings into our lives when he brings them into our lives. When someone gives you encouragement, delight in it. Enjoy it. Take it all in. Well, but I don't want to be selfish. If they're giving it to you, you're not being selfish. Just receive what they're giving. If someone speaks words of life to you, if someone is just there with you, if someone gives you a gift, if someone gives you wisdom, if someone helps you out with something, enjoy that someone's there for, but I'm scared because what if they're not with me tomorrow? It's not tomorrow right now, it's today. Enjoy the gift that I have now. In fact, what the New Testament, how it refers to the people in our lives, it refers to the people in our lives as gifts. Do you know that? Every person in your life is a gift. I know that some of them are pretty ugly, rough around the edges gifts. But it does not mean that they do not contain the capacity to bring things into your life. Not perfect, not without flaw, but we have gifts around us all the time. The warmth of someone's hug, the affection that someone gives, just the peace and the stability that brings into your life. In a couple of weeks, Maria will be without peace in her home for a little while because the peace bringer in her home will be in Africa. He's just going for a safari on a trip without his family. I'm just kidding. He's going on a work trip. But you have people in your life like that. That's your rock, right? That brings stability and comfort. Enjoy that. And some of us, we have a hard time navigating through the dark places because we don't allow ourselves to receive the energy of the gift of the people in our lives. But some of us think that because we have that, we think that that means that I can't ever acknowledge that there is a problem with the person. In fact, notice that he says, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. And what he's saying is, I'm glad you're here for me now. You weren't there for me before, though. There was a time that you weren't there, you weren't helping me. And it is okay for us to acknowledge that there's a need that's not being met, that someone's not being the way they should in our lives. And the reason for that is many times we find ourselves upset and frustrated that someone's not there for us and we've never told them. They have no idea that I needed this from them because I never said it. And sometimes we aren't having various needs met because we're not saying anything because we're too proud. We don't want to say to someone else, I need you. I need someone to be with me. I need you to just be nicer to me. We don't want to be mean. We don't even want to be rude. But we lack things because we won't just say, I need something. But be careful, because once we start expressing that we need something, we start to get our minds on our needs and off of others. And I like that. Notice that he says this in verse 10, the latter half of it. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. You know what he's saying there? Listen, you're here for me now, and that's great. I'm glad that you're here for me now. But there was a time you weren't here for me. I needed you. I needed help. I needed someone, and you weren't there for me. But I'm going to assume it's because you didn't have the capacity to be there for me. Because there's some reason why you couldn't be there for me. And so when we begin to realize there's people in our lives that aren't there for us, first we need to wonder, I wonder why they're limited, why it is they don't have the capacity. Because sometimes it's just temporary. It's because they're not in a good emotional space, and maybe it's their own fault, and they don't have the emotional capacity to give you the affection you need at that time or the entrance that you need that time. Or maybe it's because they haven't sown into their spirit, so they don't have the spiritual maturity to be the kind of person that you need them to be. And so then I realize, okay, I'm not going to get bitter because they don't have the capacity. They should have the capacity. There's work they need to do in their life, but right now they don't have the capacity, so I'm not going to be bitter. Or sometimes it's just because the person doesn't have all the time in the world. Did you know you only have 24 hours in a day? I have 50 hours in a day. Did you know that? I have the capacity to do 50 hours worth of things, right? No, I have 24 hours, same as you. I put one pant leg on at a time just like you do. We all have the same amount of time. So do all the people that we so desperately need to do something in our lives. They're limited. People have families. People have their own needs, their own concerns, their own worries. And so I need to enjoy when people are there for me. And I need to be able to address when they're not and seek to get that need met. But I need to make sure that I'm always aware that that person I'm seeking is limited in so many different ways. And so I'm not going to get bitter if they aren't able to be there for me. Well, then what do I do when I turn to one, they're not available. I turn to another, they're not available. I turn to another, and before I know it, I've ran through all the contacts in my phone. And I've tried everybody I know to try, and I'm all alone, and there's nobody there for me. How do I not hit rock bottom then? And that's when Paul says, verse 11, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. He's learned how to be okay, how to be content with every situation he's in, how to be at peace with it, as we saw in last week's passage, how to be okay facing anything. And notice that he says, not that I'm speaking of being in need. Now, does he mean he has no needs in that moment? Well, if he does, then why would he say at the end of 12 that he knows how to get along in abundance and in need? And so he doesn't mean need in the sense of I don't have any needs that need to be met right now. He just means that even if I have needs to be met, even if I don't have the provisions I need, the money I need, the people I need, the emotions I need, the sense of security I need, the presence I need, even if I don't have any of that stuff, I am still okay. And how in the world did he get in that spot? Have you ever wondered that? Like, okay, Paul, then give me an explanation here because I don't feel okay right now, right? Have you ever had moments where I just don't feel okay? I'm not good. I feel like I'm falling apart. I'm bursting at the seams. I don't know what to do with this. How did you land on that you know in every situation how to be content? You know how I knew how to do that? You see, when we hear that phrase, I can do all things through him who strengthens me, that doesn't mean that any of us can walk up to bench press and bench press 300 pounds today. I wouldn't advise doing that. I know you trust the Holy Spirit and everything, but I don't think that means you should go up to the airport and say, give me the wheels here. I'll fly this plane for you right now. I'll take where you want to go. No, this I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me doesn't mean I literally can do anything and everything. No, what it means is, because where it flowed out of was, no matter what I'm facing, I can be okay. And it's in that context that he says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So when I'm staring at depression, when I'm staring at anxiety, when I'm staring at my car broken down, when I'm staring at my house falling apart, my relationships, my health falling apart, all of those things are in disarray, what I'm looking at is something that I can face. Amen. But how? Why can I face it? Through Christ who strengthens me. What does that mean? Does that mean that he just shows up? There's nothing I'm doing. He just shows up and all of a sudden zaps me with all kinds of energy and faith and optimism. I'm able to tackle this thing. Well, if that was the case, then why is it that other people fall apart and some people don't? Because when he says, through Christ who strengthens me, did we not see last week how we end up in a place with Christ where we have his strength? It's not just whenever I'm panicked, I say a quick prayer and he comes in and everything gets put together. It's not that I'll just randomly grab some verse out of the statement and say, or the Bible and say, okay, that's the verse for me. I'll run with that. What did we see? When I have peace is when I'm in absolute harmony with every aspect of God's will. I have a deep prayer life. I'm consistently consuming and studying his word for answers. I'm living a life according to his will, a righteous and holy life, and I'm seeking Christian fellowship, I'm building relationships with others, and in those relationships, I'm pursuing the advancement of the mission that God has given me to, and this mission is for you and for me, to make disciples, to reach the lost and make disciples, and a person who's in that position is strengthened by the Lord. And so it's not I can do all things because I go to church on occasion, or because I say a few prayers, or I read a chapter a day. No, it's I can do all things because I am completely yielded to the one who is now giving me the strength to do it. And so if I want to know how to navigate through the dark places, to be in a spot where I can be okay when everything's not okay, is when I am in Christ and strengthened by him. But again, that entails a lot more than that, because we see here him as inviting us into relationships and being connected with others and addressing issues. And because the thing we have to realize as we walk into verse 14 is that God's faithfulness does not mean I can't seek to get my needs met. Look at what he says, verse 14. Yet, because he just said, I can do this, I can take care of this, but yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent help for my needs once and again. And so what is he saying? Because this didn't come out of blue. And we see this in other letters. He was sending letters saying, we need help, send help, we need help, send help. Does God not believe in God's faithfulness? Or does Paul not believe in that? Paul believes God's faithful. God's faithfulness doesn't mean I can't call for help. God's faithfulness doesn't mean I can't call a friend or a loved one and say, can you be here for me? But shouldn't God's presence be the only thing I need? Well, if that was the case, then why did God say when he made us, it's not good for man to be alone? And so me addressing a problem, me having a difficult conversation, me explaining what I need, that is not an expression of not believing in God's faithfulness. I can believe in God's. In fact, many times, the way God wants to meet our needs is through other people. And we keep turning the people away when God's trying to bring these people into our lives to meet the faithfulness of God for us. God's faithfulness also does not mean that I won't be needy at times. Again, when he says not that I'm in need, doesn't mean he didn't have a need. When you find yourself without the financial resources that you need to pay that next payment, it doesn't mean God's not faithful. When you find yourself with your health getting worse, it does not mean God's not faithful. When you find yourself at times all alone and nobody seems to understand or care or have any interest, does not mean God is not faithful. Because even when there's no one else around, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And yeah, you might find yourself in a closet somewhere bawling your eyes out. But in that moment, we must remember he is right there in the midst of that dark place. And if I learn to trust my life to him, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And so don't cower to let yourself be met and let people bring things into your life. We need to learn how to interact with the needs that we feel. And so when we realize that, we're going to go out there then and try to get our needs met. And when we go out there and do that, we have to remember a few things. Verse 17, he says this, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. So Paul's receiving blessings from them, and he's asking for things, and he's saying, but listen, I'm not asking just for me. I'm asking for you. Well, how does that make sense? Here, will you give me $100? Because I just want you to give me $100 so you'll be blessed, right? That doesn't make sense, does it? Unless there's something else he's doing when he's asking for it. Because notice verse 19. He says to them, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. You know what he's saying? I think sometimes we miss this. He's saying, listen, you have the capacity to meet a need that I have, and I'm asking you to meet that need. But I am not ignorant to the fact that you are limited and you have needs also. And sometimes when we get so focused on what we need, we become completely blind to the needs of the person that's right in front of me. I might need affection in the moment, but that person might need space right now. I might need attention and interest in this moment, but that person might need to get a few things done. And when I ask for needs, I have to be gracious to understand that this person also has limitations. And so when you're alone and you start calling someone and that person doesn't answer, they're not the devil. When you go to reach out to a hug and you get a cold shoulder, that person does not bear the mark of the beast. Okay? They are not the enemy. What does Paul say? We wrestle not against flesh and blood. And so when I seek to get my needs met, because it's very hard, the more needy we feel, it's very hard to see anybody else. But I need to remember, it's okay. That doesn't mean I can't ask for help. It's just when I do, I need to remember that these are human beings also, and they can't always do everything I need of them. They can't always be there for me. And so when that's the case, I'm still okay. Why? Because I'm strengthened through Jesus Christ. But just because I'm strengthened through Jesus Christ doesn't mean I'm not going to ask for help and seek out help. But I'm going to do it in consideration of others. I'm also, verse 18, I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. And what are these gifts? A fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. When the Philippians came in and did what they did, they were doing actions that were bringing honor to God. And then he says in verse 20, to wrap those ideas up, he says, to our God and Father be glory forever and ever, amen. When I seek to get my needs met, I need to be asking myself, am I doing it in a way that honors God? And so men, if you have a need for physical intimacy, it is a gift that God has given humanity. And it's not a need in a sense, just like Paul says, not that I am in need, but I've learned how to be in need. It's not a denial of needs. Men have a need, but they can survive without that need, right? A guy's not going to die if his need for physical intimacy is not met. But it doesn't mean that he can't seek to have that need met. But the way, men, you're going about it, is it a way that's honoring God? And so if you look to promiscuity, if you look to pornography, if you look to lust to satisfy that need, have you honored God in the way you've pursued satisfying that need? If you're looking, ladies, to get something off your chest, and the way you did that was to gossip and slander somebody else, did you honor God in the way you met that need? There is nothing inappropriate about coming to God and others needy and saying, will you please meet my need? So long as when we do it, we're being considerate of the people around us and what they need, and we're being considerate of, does this honor God the way I'm going about this? And then he wraps it up. Well, actually, back to verse 19. And my God will supply every need of yours. He didn't say, and my God will just make sure that you have salvation. He didn't say, and my God will just make sure that you have a place to live. You know what he says? My God will supply every need of yours. And he didn't say, maybe. He didn't say, I'll get to it someday if I feel like it. No, he said, my God will supply, he will supply every need of yours. Every felt need you've ever had, he is going to satisfy. Did you know that? Every desire. What about the unholy desires? Well, the unholy desires are only unholy because it's a twisted version of the desire. But every desire that you have, God is going to fulfill. When? My God will supply all your riches and glory, all your riches according, or all your needs according to his riches in glory. Where's in glory? It's certainly not here. Does that mean he won't meet any needs here? No, it doesn't mean that. It just means so long as we are in this world, dealing with this fallen condition, dealing with these fallen people, we will always be in a place where we're not completely satisfied yet. But you know what? If you trust Jesus with your life, you know where you're going to be? You're going to die someday, and you're going to be in a place where every single need is met. The need to not be criticized and judged for your weakness and your flaws, the need to be accepted for who you are, the need to be loved, the need for affection, the need for attention. There will no longer be, I'm going to reach out to someone and there's no one on the other end. No, when we get to that place, every single desire I ever have will be fulfilled constantly to the fullest extent, because in the Lord there is fullness of joy and pleasures at his right hand forevermore. Does anybody in this life have the capacity to offer you fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore? But that's what we get in Christ. And so when I'm in a dark place, I need to remember, this ain't going to last. I don't have much now. That's going to change. I might be hurting now, suffering now, alone now. That's not going to last. And even if I can't for the life of me figure my way out of this dark corner, I'm going to die at some point, and when I die, I won't be in this darkness anymore. I'll be in the glorious light of Jesus Christ and the glorious company of his saints for all eternity. And it's that glimmer of hope that sometimes is the only thing we have left to hold on to get us through the dark place. And then 21 and 22, again, we could be tempted here to just feel like he's saying goodbye and closing the letter, but don't miss what's happening. 21, he says, greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. What are you saying? Did you notice that we just walked through a passage in which he keeps pointing us to God and to each other? Do you see that? He keeps pushing us back to people. He keeps demonstrating for us that people have been sent into our lives to meet our needs. And then in concluding, what does he say? Every single saint out there, go talk to them. That person, he's a believer, go talk to him. But I'm shy, but I'm introverted, I'm antisocial. Do you want to receive the goodness of God in your life? Go talk to that person. But they're scary. I don't know what's going to happen when I talk to them. What if they reject me? What if they don't like me? Some of us, if we think about it, when we really think of our feelings, we're pretty quite pitiful. You know that? Nobody's going to love me. Everybody hates me. Nobody's ever going to respond positively to me. And we keep ourselves from all the love and all the affection and all the joy and all the comfort that God wants to bring into our lives through other people because we're not pushing ourselves into relationships. If I want to be able to get through the, because when do you feel the most depressed? When you're all alone. And what's the solution to that? To get more of loneliness? But what do people do when they're depressed? They hide away from everybody. Do they recover in that place? No. When do they recover? When I decide to seek out relationships. But what if I mess this up? What if I make a mistake? But what if they mess it up and make a mistake and it hurts me? That's when verse 23, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Let that resonate with you for a moment. You are flawed, you are imperfect, and you've made mistakes in the past, and you're going to make mistakes again. Especially if you try to connect with other people and socialize. Many of us, do you ever feel like, I don't have a clue about how to do the socializing thing? Anybody ever feel like that? Okay? Just realize that you might be clueless. What is grace? Grace is when God gives us things that we don't deserve. I don't deserve it. I don't have the worthiness for it. I don't have the capacity or the strength for it. But he's giving me something I don't deserve. And so when I step out in faith to begin to encounter people that I'm terrified of encountering them, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. That this grace that God gives me will settle deep within the core of who I am. And then when they blow it and they hurt me and they're not there for me and they are mistaken and they're flawed and they do the wrong thing, I'm going to remember that I have the capacity to forgive them and keep working this out because the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. It's transforming to know deep to the core, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Will you take a moment as we turn our attention to worship him? Think about that. Let that sit in. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Will you stand with me as we reflect on that? Worship team, will you come and prepare to lead us? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Hallelujah. Now perhaps might be one of the most quoted statements in all the Bible. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. But now perhaps it makes a little more sense as to what that means. Car is broken down. I have no friends. My loved one just died. Lost my home. Don't have any money. I have cancer. I'm dying. All kinds of health issues. I'm confused. I'm knotted up on the inside emotionally. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So if you're here this morning and perhaps you'd say, yes, I believe that's true, but I have a lot of needs that aren't being met. And perhaps you're frustrated and upset with other people because of that. And perhaps you feel guilty because you're upset. Maybe you even feel guilty just because you have a need. Yet the Lord can set you free from that guilt. Did you know that? He wants you to be liberated from the guilt and to be able to enjoy the things that he has given you. Where is his freedom found? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And so perhaps in your place of need, and being knotted up, you need to be set free from your own devices so that you can receive all that God has for you. And so if that's you, would you come this morning, come to this altar and seek him and allow the Holy Spirit to liberate you? Or maybe you need the grace of the Lord because you don't deserve, you know you don't deserve the things that you desire in your heart. It doesn't mean you can't have them. That's what grace is. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Have you lost hope of moving forward? Maybe there's some glimmer of hope, but not enough to motivate you to act upon things and to do something. You've lost, you're weak. You don't have the strength to do it. You don't have the strength to have that conversation. You don't have the strength to do that thing. You don't have the strength. In Christ, there is strength. Because I'm capable through Christ who strengthens me. Do you find yourself in a weakened condition this morning? Then why don't you come and let Jesus Christ strengthen you? He's here. He wants to do it. That strength is available to you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Have you followed the Lord in a way that's utterly careless of your own needs? In an act of trying to be humble, you've put yourself aside and not allowed yourself to receive the meeting of your needs. Or perhaps you've become too self-absorbed and so focused on your own needs that you can't see that there's other people around you hurting, and you can't see that the purpose of your life isn't to just get everything you want, but the purpose of your life is to bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ. But there is that same God that's saying, come to me, I'll meet your needs, but also glorify me and live in sacrificial ways to glorify me. And it's confusing sometimes, isn't it? It's hard to figure out, which am I supposed to do, look to myself or look to the Lord? But he wants to clear up those cobwebs for you. He wants to allow you to be able to see the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Do you need the Lord in order to face difficult relationships, hard conversations? I've been in the presence of people before where I knew exactly how I felt and knew what I needed and knew all the words, and they just couldn't get my mouth to open up. You ever been there before? Maybe you can get it to open up to say some casual chit-chat, but you can't get yourself to say the actual issue that's the problem. And the Lord is here, and he wants to help you learn how to open your mouth, to humble yourself and express who you are, even at the terrifying reality that who you are might get rejected. But he wants to give you the capacity to do that, the capacity to be able to forgive yourself for failing time and time again, and to forgive the people in your life who keep failing you time and time again. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is with your spirit. I can do all things through him who strengthens me if I will only surrender to him. Why not come this morning and let him transform who you are? Will you seek him this morning? Lord, help us to live that way, that no matter what we have or don't have, you deserve our lives, deserve our surrender, you deserve our attention, our energy, our time. So help us, Lord, to live in a way that glorifies your name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, just want to pray for those that are here that you'd say, I hear the words, but there's still disturbance within my spirit and unsettling that I really could use a work of the Holy Spirit to give me a new heart and give me the peace that I need on the inside. If that's you, would you lift your hand and say, that's me. Please pray for that peace for me. Good, good. Anybody else? Few hands. Good. Good. So Lord Jesus, you see these hands, and we ask that you would meet them right where they are, and you would put your finger on the thing that is most troubling to them. We ask that you would resolve those scenarios for them. We trust you as provider, but we ask more importantly, Lord, that you would give them the peace that surpasses all understanding. That no matter what they stumble over and what they face and what trouble and hardship they're encountering, you would be their peace. We thank you for the work you do in our lives, Lord. Help us throughout this week to live in a way that honors you and draws others to you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Next week, so I went to the doctor one day a few years ago, and he said a line that really hurt my feelings. You know what he said? He said, you know, when you're your age, I'm 46 today. I was probably 40, 41. I was like, excuse me, my age? We're getting older, aren't we? And as we get older, we feel weaker and we feel like we don't know what our purpose is. Next week, we're going to discover that there's a great responsibility for those of you who are old. Who's old? Who's willing to say you're old, okay? That means there's a great calling God has on your life, and we're going to look at that next week. See you next week.